And let's turn over to 1 John 4 and just read this. I'm not even going to comment on it. I'm just going to read it. Let it soak in to our hearts. In verse 7 of 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. You know, the beautiful end result of coming to a place of that Paul is talking about and changing our minds and putting our treasure in people and not in our circumstances and getting right-minded towards what we're here for is that our hearts will change and we'll become servants and we'll become lovers of other people, because that has to happen, because that's who God is. As we continue here in Philippians 1, in this I pray that your love may abound still more and more. Paul's prayer to these guys, and you're such a loving people. You have such great koinonia, intimate fellowship. I'm praying that it can just continues to grow, because He who began a work in you is faithful to have that completely done. I'm having a hard time with my mouth this morning. Oh. But why? And that your knowledge and discernment might grow. Why might Paul's prayer be that they would increase in their knowledge and their discernment in the body of Christ? So that they would recognize the things that are good. And the things that people in the body are doing that are good and awesome, and that they might have that discernment to approve those things that are excellent. And that with the knowledge and with the discernment, you might be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know, that sincere means holding up to the light. The actual Greek word means without wax, you know. And if a piece of pottery is cracked, you can take the wax and some dust of the pot together and put the pot back together, and you can find out if it's sincere or not by holding it up to the sun. You can find out if it's real, see. And he says, be real. You know, let the sun, the light, shine on you and inspect it to see if it's for real or if it's fake. And without offense, till the day of Christ, till Jesus comes back or calls us up to meet Him in the air. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Obviously, when our motivations are moved and empowered by the Holy Spirit, that the praise and the glory is going to go to Him and not to ourselves. And God makes a promise in the Old Testament that His eyes are going to and fro across the earth, looking for people whose hearts are pure towards Him, that He might show Himself miraculous, strong on behalf of them. What is pure to me? Jock, that you'll get the glory and the praise for whatever happens in my life. That's a pure heart, see? And what happens? God's looking for people like that, that He might do amazing, miraculous things. He's not looking for people to do amazing things to that want to bring the glory to themselves. I must really be important, God. No, He's looking for people that are thinking, wow, God, if you just use me and do this miraculous thing, I'll give you glory. It's going to draw people to you. Yeah, it's my good pleasure. I want to do that. All right, where are you? That's what He's doing across the whole earth with the eyes of the Lord. And He is a neat thing. So He encourages the fruits of righteousness. And now let's just sort of read through the rest. We're going to read down to verse 26 and sort of wrap it up here. I want you to know, verse 12, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord have become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Paul's going, hey, you know, the Roman prisoners think I'm the guy in chains. I got news for you, folks. They're captive audience. I get four guards a day on six-hour shifts. I've been in here a year. I'm sharing the gospel, and they can't get away from me. Not only that, as a Roman citizen, they're not allowed to beat me. You know, he ridicules them later, if you'll read in Acts 16, for trying to send him out of town. I said, wait a minute, I'm a Roman citizen. You're not allowed to beat me. You know, he's saying they can't do anything. They can't tell me to shut up. They've got to listen to me for 6 hours at a time. Man, and this whole Praetorian guard is getting saved and hearing the gospel. They're taking it to their magistrates. It's the gospel of Christ is filling the Roman Empire because I'm in this prison. And I'm so happy. Guys, you be happy too. You can look at it and be sorry for me that I'm locked up and I don't have a life, but I do have a life. And it's awesome. You see? Just a change of mind, what that does to us. He says, not only that, the other believers in this under this Nero, the persecution that's going on in Europe under this guy, they're going, wow, if Paul's bold enough and not afraid to share with these people, well, I'm going to do it too. And so now he's emboldened the rest of the believers to go out there and preach the gospel when they were afraid to do it before. And so he recognizes that God was using him in this circumstance to further the kingdom of God, and in that he rejoiced and asked them to rejoice with him. And that's amazing. And then he goes on. This one blows me away. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and yet will rejoice. Here are guys, and the word the King James uses out of the Greek. Contentious, preaching Christ contentiously. The actual word means politically canvassing. So they're going around and shaking hands with people and grabbing their little babies and putting them up their arms and giving them kisses to get people's attention, to draw to them and to really like them and to get their vote, is what Paul's saying. And so he's saying there's a lot of them out there that are preaching Christ and are just trying to draw attention to themselves and make you really think they're something special and to raise them up as a leader and choose them as an important person and all this kind of stuff. But I don't care. Jesus is still being preached. His name is still being talked about out there. And I know because I wrote this by the Holy Spirit in Romans, that the power unto salvation is in the gospel. So even if somebody speaks the gospel to draw attention to themselves, the gospel is the thing with the power, not the person. So when they hear the gospel, if they receive it, they get saved by the Holy Spirit. Wow, I'm rejoicing. These guys think they're stealing all of the people that like me. And if Paul really was God's man, he wouldn't be in prison. He'd be driving a Cadillac. He'd have a cattle on 1,000 hills. He would never be sick. He wouldn't have that eye disease. He wouldn't mean all this stuff coming down on him. If Paul was really God's man, well, look at me. I used all your money, and I've got 3 mansions all over the world and drive great vehicles. I've got a chauffeur. God is really blessing me. Paul says, they think that it's bothering me. But nah, man, I'm rejoicing because even those idiots that are all selfish and wrapped up in self and trying to win converts to them by their worldly appearance, I still rejoice anyway because the gospel's still going out and the power's in that. People are still going to get saved anyway. Wow. Man, I tell you, I got together with, when we had this crusade, and pastors of several of the churches would come together and we on one morning a week and we'd pray together. And I got some sweet fellowship and got to know some of the guys, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, I really do. I really care for some of the other pastors and the churches in this community and pray for them. I love them. And then on the other hand, there's some that when they prayed, it was almost like, that doesn't even sound like the same God I worship, the way you pray to Him and the things you ask Him. But yet, there was still the common bond of salvation and knowing that the name of Jesus was bringing people to Christ in that situation too. And I could rejoice. I can rejoice in that. I want this church to be filled up with people, and I believe we teach the Word of God rightly divided, and it's, the intent is for you to grow and to be equipped for the work of ministry. But I rejoice that there's a lot of churches in Salisbury right now that are proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, and the kingdom is being furthered through each one of them, and that is an exciting thing.